If you have your Bible tonight, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start reading in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we have the promise that this world is not our home. And Father, that we are strangers and pilgrims in this earth. And we pray tonight that you will give us a heavenly perspective of this life, Lord, that we would get our eyes in heaven and off the things of this earth, and that we would glorify you in all that we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our text tonight is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, because he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they seen them afar off, and they were assured of them, and they embraced them. And he says in Hebrews 11, 13, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And he speaks in this passage concerning all the saints mentioned in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 2. But I read all those verses because he particularly speaks of Abraham and Sarah and their kindred who came with them from Haran and Ur of the Chaldees. And they understood, and they were of the mindset, that this world was not their home, that their future was not here on this earth. And they knew and confessed that this was not their final resting place. And we see and read in this passage that they confessed themselves that they were strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. Now, a stranger is one who's a foreigner. He's one who's a visitor. He's not permanent. He's one who's out of his place. He's not at home. He's one who's an alien. And a pilgrim is simply one who's sojourning in a strange place away from his people. A pilgrim is one who is just passing through. He's one who's on a long journey that is one that will eventually end, but he doesn't belong in the place that he's living. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 7, Joseph brings his father, Jacob, and sets him before Pharaoh. And then we see when Jacob speaks of his life on this earth to Pharaoh, he speaks of it as the days of his pilgrimage. And he also speaks of the life of his fathers in their pilgrimage on this earth. So when they look at it from their perspective, and in this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that they sought another country as their home, and they did not think that this was their homeland. This earth was not their settled abode, but they were traveling to another place. And every believer should live and walk on this earth with the same mindset that they had, and most don't. And we're most frequently overcome and depressed and defeated and downcast because we have so much stock and faith in this world while this world continues to fade and pass away. We expect too much from this world. We get too engaged in this world. We get too settled in this world. And we live too much in this world as if it's going to be our final resting place. But brethren, if we don't look forward to heaven and live as if we're on a journey to heaven, then we're going to live a miserable life. Because there's absolutely nothing to look forward to in this world that is lasting. I remember John 18, verse 36, when they come to get Jesus. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, therefore, my servants do not fight. And it's the same thing with us. Our kingdom is not of this world. We're not trying to save the environment or anything. It's not that we're against the environment, but we've got a better home coming. And our kingdom is not of this world. And they knew in Hebrews 11 that God had prepared a city for them. And that's why they desired a better country, a heavenly country. They desired something much better than here. But I realize that one element of our peace and joy as Christians is that we realize that this earth is not our home. We're just passing through. God has prepared a city for us. He's prepared a heavenly country for us. In Psalm 73, you remember where the psalmist was envious at the prosperity of the wicked while the righteous were chastened and afflicted every day. And after he went to the sanctuary of God, he came to his senses. And not only did he realize the end of the wicked, but he also understood that God had him by his hand and that God was going to receive him into glory. In Psalm 73, verse 21 to 25, this is what the psalmist says. Psalm 73 and verse 21, you don't have to turn, I'll read it to you. He says, "Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind." And he says, "I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you." The psalmist says, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel." And he said, afterward, you will receive me into glory. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you." He said, "My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So he realized that in the midst of all this, even though he was going through trials and tribulations, he said that God was the one that was leading him home. So the best thing, brethren, that could happen to the Church of Jesus Christ in this age would be for us to become heavenly minded, to set our affections on things above, because worldliness will kill the joy and the zeal of any church or in any Christian. And I was thinking about worldliness the other day, because a lot of times we talk about worldliness, we think of it in words, you know, ways of idolatry and covetousness and things like that, which is what it is. But also, worldliness is a lack of heavenly mindedness, because everybody wants to go to heaven, but very few people really desire it much in their thinking or in their heart. I mean, even sinners want to go to heaven, but the thing that they don't realize is until they get converted, they would hate the place, because heaven is not what everybody thinks that it is. Heaven's not a place where you floating around carefree, playing harps and eating bonbons all day. No, heaven is a place that is full of holy activity. It's full of holy activity. The saints in heaven tonight are not sitting around idle, just simply not doing nothing. God has work for them to do that will fill up eternity. Heaven is a place of rest, but the rest of heaven is not idleness. It's not cessation of action. The saints, what has ceased for them in heaven is all their work of labor, all the trouble, all the toil, all the weariness, all the unpleasantness of this earth. They rest from their work, but it's all work of labor. All the saints are resting from all the self-denial, you know, the grief, the care, the watchfulness, the striving, the overcoming, but they will not cease from action. If you looked in heaven tonight, the saints in heaven are employed in serving God the same as we are on this earth. The difference between us is they are doing it without difficulty and opposition. And they can freely, freely worship and serve God. What a blessing that is. Revelation 22, verse 3, John said, "There will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." How? They will be serving him without hindrance or without distraction. And so we should look forward to the next world, because, brethren, this world is cursed. And we're constantly hindered and distracted from serving God because of the curse. And that's what makes it so hard for serving God. Turn with me to Revelation 7, book of Revelation 7. Heaven is a good place. And we're so hindered and distracted in serving God here, but the saints are not that away in heaven. Revelation 7, verse 9 to 12. This is what's going on in heaven. And this is why sinners would really not want to be in heaven. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne of God, the throne, and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.'" That's what's going on in heaven. They're serving God completely without distraction. If you're here today and you're unconverted, I know you want to go to heaven. But you don't want to go to heaven because you want to be there or because you love God. You just want to escape hell and have it nice for eternity. That's why you want to go to heaven. That's why most people, the sinners, want to go to heaven. But I can tell you this tonight. If you can't praise him and thank him for 1 minute now, you'd be absolutely miserable in heaven. Because that's all they do in heaven. Heaven is a place wherein dwelleth righteousness and, you know, perfect righteousness. And, you know, if you're professing that you want to go to heaven, if this little bit of righteousness and glory in this room aggravates you, you don't want to go up there. Because it's full glory. It's full of the glory of the Lamb. It's full of the glory of God. It's where the Lamb is all the glory. And you have to get rid of these carnal notions about heaven, because heaven's all about the Father and the Son. It's all about us living with them and being with them and enjoying them for eternity and them enjoying us for eternity. It's an absolute glorious place. And that's why I would say tonight, if you're a sinner, and you hear people say it all the time, I still want to go to heaven, but, you know, I don't want to go to church. Well, if you don't love God's house and true worship, then you won't be there, because you won't want to be there. Because heaven is a glorious place. It's a place where God is worshipped day and night. And God in this life is fitting us that we may go to heaven. Now, I'm going to start my application tonight quickly. To Christians, what we need to do is spend our life on this earth as a journey toward heaven. You say, what is my life on this earth? Your life is a pilgrimage toward heaven. Peter says, spend your sojourning here in fear. Be a stranger and a foreign resident here, because basically that's what your life is. All we're doing here is we're just passing through to reach our eternal destination. Don't let this worry when I say we're trying to reach our eternal destination, because that's what we're trying to do. You're striving, you're fighting. We're not working our way into heaven, but God's plan is that we strive as we go. We got to work and fight as we go. That's not a works doctrine, but God has chosen a path that the elect has to take. And the path that he's chosen for the elect to take is the only way that you'll get to heaven. And he tells us all that this is the way, walk ye in it. He tells you to seek first and only the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So our main and chief desire should be heavenly happiness, and that's to be with God and to dwell with Christ. Everyone's in this room. We have a lot of things in this life we enjoy. We enjoy our families. We enjoy our friends, all types of outward enjoyments that we have, all types of relationships. But God's intention for us is to enjoy them and to possess them. But when he calls for us to come on to heaven, we must willingly and cheerfully exchange everything we have for heaven. Y'all with me? We must be ready to give them up in God's due time when he calls. Because we're not to allow ourselves to rest into temporal things on this earth. We have to grow to the point where we desire heaven more than the comforts and the enjoyments of this life. And our hearts need to be loosed from earthly things so that we may cheerfully part from them when God calls. A lot of people die horrible deaths because they hate leaving things. Y'all with me? And usually it's not family and friends, it's usually money and materials. But a lot of times, you know, and you would hate to leave your family, you would hate to leave your friends. But the day will come in every one of us' life when God will call us and we'll have to leave them. And we must joyfully give it up for heaven, because heaven is a much better place than here. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. You have to remember that you're on a journey. We will not be here long. And it won't be long before all the elect of God will be in heaven, worshiping and praising the Lamb of God that was slain. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is what Paul says about this, leaving this behind. Y'all with me tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. The apostle says this. He says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. They were going through a rough time at this time. But he's also saying, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. And Paul is just saying that we're going to be here a short time. He said the form of this world is passing away. The apostle is telling us that all that we have, God has lent to us for a little while as we pass through this life. I like to use the word entrusted to us. He's entrusted to us a little while. They're all given to us by God to use in this world. But our hearts should be set on heaven as our inheritance forever. And it's amazing, brethren, that we as Christians, when we talk about our future, we never even talk about heaven. But actually, your real future is in eternity, not here. Your future is in heaven. And the Apostle Paul says that the sufferings that we're going through are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's where our future is. And that's what we should be looking forward to, because God, we're traveling to a place that is nothing but pure glory. You say, well, number two, how do we know we're traveling the road to heaven? The road that leads to heaven is the road of holiness. Hebrews 12, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They are the ones that see God. And then Revelation 22, 14 to 15, John said, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and enter to the gates of the city. And then he says in verse 15, people who live unholy lives and break the commandments of God will not be there, because they have no right to heaven. They're not fit for heaven. He said, all who are unholy are outside the city. So you say, what is the road to heaven? The road to heaven, if you're traveling to heaven, you're living a holy life. It's a life of obedience to the commandments of God, whether the commandments be difficult or whether they be easy, because the road to heaven is an uphill climb. And brethren, I know it gets hard, it gets tiresome, it's contrary to all the desires of the flesh, but we have to look at Christ and the path that he traveled, and that's the right way to heaven. You know, he just totally gave himself up to God. He carried his cross daily. You know, he was meek and he loved. He had love and patience in his life under all the afflictions that he faced. The road to heaven is long. It's full of toil and labor and fatigue, and it gets wearisome and full of hardship and trouble. But that's the way God has chosen us to go. That's the road to heaven. You say, am I on the road to heaven tonight? Well, Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 14, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And Jesus said, there are few that find it. Our whole lives must be spent traveling this road, staying on this road, going uphill. And every day we need to think about our journey's end, because we need to make it our daily work to make sure that we're traveling on the road to heaven. It should be continually in our thoughts. We should be praying every day that we have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. You know, we shouldn't make the mistakes that the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness and want to turn back. Because even though it gets difficult and toilsome, we got to hold out with patience and be content to endure all the hardships that we're going to face, because this is a long journey and you cannot stop short. That's why you have all the exhortations in Scripture. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And Paul says, run this race to win. And so we are not to murmur and complain as the children of Israel did on the way in the wilderness and be destroyed on the way in, because multitudes have turned back simply because it has gotten hard. And this is a long journey. This is a road to heaven. This is a road. It's a narrow road. It's a road of holiness and righteousness and obedience all the days of your life till you set your foot into the kingdom of God for sure. You know, we're in there in one sense now, but you know what I mean? When you reach your final destination. So we're not to murmur as they did and not to turn back. But we have to trust God in his providential dealings, not look to the left, not turn to the right, but go straight on, and God will get us there. We have to go his way, because if we try some other way to get to heaven, we will not enter the kingdom of God. And you can believe me, the toil and tribulation is not over with. The difficulty is not over with. It is a lot that will lie ahead for all of us because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to stay on this road of holiness. All of our concerns in life, we should subordinate to the fact that we're traveling to heaven. All of our business, all of our temporal enjoyments must take a back seat to this priority. I'm going to make it to heaven. And you're not working your way in. You're just going the way God said that you need to go. You're walking the narrow way of life. This is the way people are walking that are going to heaven, because this life of the Christian is simply, like I said before, it's a journey to heaven. And that's what they saw it as in Hebrews chapter 11. As you look at Abraham and Sarah and all those back in Hebrews 11, they knew that they were traveling to an eternal place. They were going farther than just going in the land of Canaan. They were going somewhere that was eternal, and they were headed for heaven. And the third thing tonight, God never designed this world to be our home. He never designed this world to be our home. All that God has blessed us with, our family, our friends, our children, our grandchildren, our estates, God is, like I said earlier, he's designed it that we be entrusted with them for the present, but be ready to leave them in a short time. And brethren, multitudes will spend their whole lives in pursuit of temporal happiness, riches and pleasures, esteem for man. And what happens to them is that death comes in and blows up all their plans, all their hopes, and it puts a quick end to all their enjoyments. And Paul told Timothy, he said, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you will carry nothing out of this world. And it happens to a lot of people. They were taken away forever from all these things, and it all happened unexpectedly. I remind you of the man in Luke 12. He said, I'll build my barns bigger and better and greater. And God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall be those things that you have? But God called him to come home. And he was not ready to go because he was putting his stakes down in this world when he should have been looking at the other world. Job 14:12, Job says, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. And what Job is saying is that he has to leave it all and he can absolutely do nothing about it. God calls him and just blows up all their plans and hopes. God intended that the future world is to be our settled abode. And this present state, like I said, is short, it's temporary, it's transitory, and heaven is everlasting. Heaven is the place where our highest end and our highest good will be obtained. And I like this, God made us for himself. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. God meant us to be with him for all eternity. And we have to obtain our highest ends when we're brought to God. And the way you're brought to God is to be brought to heaven, because that's where his throne is. And that's the special place of his presence. In this world, brethren, we have an imperfect union with God. Also, we have an imperfect knowledge of God. We serve him here. Everything we do is imperfect. The way we serve him, everything we do. And the reason why everything's imperfect is because everything we do is so mingled with sin. We serve God here in an imperfect manner. We worship him in an imperfect manner. And we mingle with sin, and sin dishonors God. In heaven, we will be fully conformed to God without any remaining sin. And we will see him as he is. In heaven, we'll be able to serve God perfectly. And we shall be able to give ourselves up perfectly to God. And we will enjoy him forever. You know, you see all that in the catechism, but for enjoyment for him is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. And it's true, only God can satisfy the soul. And that's the only happiness that really will satisfy us. And so when we're looking about going to heaven, it's a much better world than what we're in now. And what messes us up here is the curse and sin. And we can't serve him like we want to. We can't serve him like we ought to. Sin hinders everything we do. But when you get to heaven, there'll be no more remaining sin. There'll be no more hindrances in serving God. We'll be able to fully give ourselves totally up to God. That's shouting ground. It is. You say, what about the saints that have died? Well, if they live the holy life and a journey to heaven, the saints that have died, they're blessed. Because death to us is very frightful, but to them, it was a great blessing. They have a happy end. As one man said, the day of their death is better than the day of their birth, because they've arrived at their Father's house where there's comforts and pleasures forevermore. You think about the saints that's already made it on the other side. They made it through all the wilderness, the mountains, the rough places, all the trials and tribulations. They stayed true to God. And John says in Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. They have made it to their everlasting rest. To us, when they died, death was a horrible calamity, and we mourn, and that's okay. It's natural to mourn. There's nothing wrong with that. But actually, they're in a happy state, and they're blessed beyond measure. Think about their life here. Just think about when they was here. Even in the best circumstances, it was filled with adversity and a lot of affliction. Job said, man is born to trouble. Job said, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So we're saying the people that's already gone over to the other side, their lives right now, they have no more of that adversity and affliction that they had here. What about their lives in heaven? Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And you remember that all of these things were here because of the curse. They no longer have to put up with the curse no more. John says that they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore, and the sun shall not strike them with heat. And the best thing he says in John 7:17, the Lamb will personally lead them, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a blessing on the other side. So a lot of times when you go to a funeral and somebody passes, it's nothing wrong with mourning because it's just natural. That's consistent with Christianity. But Paul says we're not to grieve and be ignorant concerning those who have died, lest we sorrow as others that have no hope. Because sorrow and grief, like I said, is natural and consistent. But when the believer departs, our sorrow should be mingled with joy. Because, brethren, they are with Christ. When he returns, he will bring them back with him. And that's why John said, blessed are those who die in the Lord because they have made it to the end. No, yeah, a funeral is a bad thing if somebody don't make it. But if they're believers, believe me, it wasn't a calamity. It was a blessed day. And they're shouting for the Lamb. You know, I don't know what all they're doing, but I know they're having a good time in heaven. Well, it's just an application for sinners. What about sinners and unconverted people? What about unbelievers? Well, believe it or not, unbelievers are just passing through this world. And guess what? This world is not their home either. Everybody in this life is on a road, and everybody in this life is trying to reach a destination. And everybody is going to leave here someday, and everybody is going to a place. I know a lot of funerals that I go to anymore, and people, you know, whether they went to church or whether they just stayed or whatever else, they'll always say, well, one thing I know, they're in a better place. Not necessarily so. You know, you don't tell them at the time, but everybody goes to heaven when they die. But everybody's going to a place, but not necessarily everybody is in a better place. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, broad is the way or the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And what Jesus says is this other road that people are walking on, he said the road is packed because this road is easy to walk on. Christians spend their lives traveling uphill, going to heaven. Sinners spend their lives traveling downhill, going to hell. And the way we're traveling one way, sinners are traveling the other way. And some spend their whole lives from birth to their dying day traveling on the road to hell and destruction. And the bad part about it is most people, when they wake in the morning, they set out traveling towards hell. And they spend every waking hour that they have in pursuit of hell. And some of them don't realize the time and effort they spend on the pursuit of destruction. That's because man is a servant of sin. All his powers, all his faculties are used in the service of sin. And some people live to be old people, and they never get weary or cease their journey to hell. Even though they live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old, they do not cease traveling in the way of hell until they finally get to their destination. And what I'm saying is, as this world is nobody's home. That's an eternal resting place for everybody. And you're on one road or the other road. And either you're on the road of holiness or righteousness, or you're on the broad way that leads to destruction. And most sinners, all their concerns of life are subordinate to reaching hell. And if you're a sinner tonight, you need to get this neutrality out of your mind. You're on one road or another. You're walking one way or the other. And you're either walking toward heaven, the difficult, the narrow road, or you're walking toward hell, the road that's going downhill where everybody in the world wants to go. Not everybody, but you know what I mean. The majority of people. And the bottom line is many people spend all their life treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. The bulk of mankind, Jesus said, is on the broad way to destruction. And multitudes are actually streaming in to get there. Now, I got some good news for you tonight. I don't know about you, but I was once on that road that leads to destruction. And I was happily traveling to hell. See, when you go into hell, you have a lot of fun. Till you get there, then the fun is over. But it's a lot of fun. It's carefree. You know, everybody's on there. You know, everybody's not so bad. But the question comes up tonight, which is a serious question. How did you get off that road? I got off that road by the grace of God. He converted my soul. And what conversion does, conversion puts you on the road to heaven. And then the uphill climb begins. You were walking this way, now you're walking this way. You begin to make your calling and election sure. You begin to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You begin to follow the Lamb of God wherever He goes, and He leads you, and the destination is heaven. You say, what happens when the grace of God comes in your life? When the grace of God comes in your life, He leads you on the road of holiness, the road of self-denial, mortification. He leads you right into heaven. And the blessed thing of all of it, brethren, is that He supplies us with all the grace we need till we get there. And if you're a sinner tonight, God can put you on the right road. You can cry out to God for salvation, and He will put you on the right road. Because it's the grace of God that puts you on the road, because everybody in this room is on that other road. Some of them maybe not as long as others, but they were on that road. You say, well, I had only like 3 steps on it. Well, you're still on the road. God got you off of it. But I was on there quite a bit of time. And sometimes when you preach like this, people say, well, you're just trying to be hard and everything. And I'm just serious. I mean, the world is traveling the wrong way. And the life of the Christian is just a journey to heaven. And that's why I'm saying that we have to loose our hearts from the things here, because we got great things waiting for us at the end of this road. Well, to my brethren tonight, just 3 things, and I'm going to close down. The first thing I will tell you tonight is to think on heaven and make sure that your life is a journey to heaven. Because if our lives are not a journey to heaven, then maybe we're going the opposite way. I mean, we're not just out here walking carelessly anywhere. We're headed somewhere. And we got a purpose in our life, and our purpose is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm saying, think on heaven. Number 2, realize the vanity of this world. You say, why are you saying realize that? I already know about it. The reason why I say that is because when death comes, we can loose our hearts from the things of this world and joyfully leave it all. Y'all with me? I was thinking about this the other day. Do you really want to leave here? Lot's wife didn't want to come out of Sodom. You know, the angel said, come on now. They're getting ready to destroy all this. You know, let's go. And she was walking with him for a while, but she did not make it out. You know why? Because her heart was still back there. That's real simple. Her heart was still there. And I'm always asking myself, you know, how much do you really love this place? What if God called you today? Well, He could have called me this morning. But what if He calls you? I could have been gone. You know, you can go there anytime. But we need to realize the vanity of this world, so when death comes, our hearts can be loosed from the things of this world, and we can joyfully leave it all. And brethren, I'll say this tonight, there's work that needs to be done in all of us. Y'all better say amen. It is. Because we're still holding on to things here. We need to loosen our grip on them. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things here and doing what we got to do, but we need to loosen our grip on them. Third thing, seek heaven only by Jesus Christ. It's by His righteousness that we get in and not our own. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. If any man enters by Him, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and find pasture. Never forget that it's Him that has procured heaven for us. Try to seek it by Jesus Christ, because that's the way you'll get there, and that's the only way you'll get to heaven. The last thing tonight, you love this one. Let us help one another on the journey as we go. If some of you are dragging your feet, we're going to drag you with us. I thought about today, you know, we really don't encourage each other and assist each other like we need to. But we need to encourage each other. We need to assist each other. And we need to remind each other every day. Now, you don't have to do it every day, but you know what I mean, daily, where we're going. And we let us not hinder each other. Don't fall out of the way, but use all the means we can help each other to get up this hill. Because, brethren, what a glorious place we're headed to. And I would hate to see anybody miss out on this. Because God's got a glorious place waiting for us. So I'll close down tonight by just saying this. Make the best of your time here for the kingdom's sake. Because, brethren, we're only passing through. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. and what a glorious place God has waiting for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that Christ has procured eternal redemption for our souls. And Father, that in your house there's many mansions for your people, and that we can go and we can be with you and the Lord Jesus Christ and worship you forever and ever and ever without hindrance or distraction. We pray, Father, that we will get more glimpses and tastes of heaven in your house as we worship you each Lord's Day. And we pray that you will make our hearts hunger more and thirst more, not only for righteousness, but hunger and thirst more for heaven to be personally with you. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being called the sons of God. And we give you all the glory this night in Jesus' name. Amen.